Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, lucky for you, I just so happen to be a lawyer, which is highly relevant for today's conversation. This morning, the Supreme Court heard arguments from the Trump administration challenging the ability of U.S. federal district courts to enter injunctions prohibiting the Trump administration from enforcing a patently, facially unconstitutional executive order nationwide. That's the particular procedural posture of this case. My argument, what I offer to you this afternoon, is that's just stupid. Now, perhaps in the past, when presidential administrations didn't actively do, purposefully so, things that are facially unconstitutional, limiting the reach of a district court's injunction might make sense. You know, when the government actually operated in good faith. We don't have that today. And so the question is, if the Supreme Court rules that every single federal district court and potentially every single individual impacted by the federal government's patently unconstitutional action has to bring their own lawsuit or seek class certification, which can maybe get there eventually, what happens in the meanwhile as the federal government denies rights to individuals in direct contravention of our Constitution? Imagine, if you will, if it was your right to bear arms, would you be satisfied in having to bring each case individually or waiting for a federal court to go through the lengthy process of determining whether or not a class action was appropriate? If the federal government were coming to take your guns, I would suggest many of the people who are defending the Trump administration today would take to the streets and demand the courts do something. Let's take a listen. This is Justice Kagan in an exchange with the Trump administration's lawyer this morning. This is Cut 26.
I'm just going to ask to you to put yourself in a different frame of mind. Hard to do. Assume something you won't want to assume. But the assumption that I want you to make is that on the merits, which of course you did not take to this court, on the merits, you are wrong, that the EO is unlawful. And I want to ask you, if we assume that, how do we get to that result on your view of the rules?
It is very difficult for me to attempt the hypothetical, but I will.
You know, I think that that's the important question in this case. Let's just assume you're dead wrong. How do we get to that result? Does every single person that is affected by this EO have to bring their own suit? Are there alternatives? How long does it take? How do we get to the result that there is a single rule of citizenship that is not, that is the rule that we've historically applied rather than the rule that the EO would have us do?
Rule 23 would be one natural path, assuming that a class could be certified, which we might dispute in this particular case.
Well, you might dispute it. And, you know, I mean, I think the question is there a class that's just all children of people who have entered illegally? You know, is that an appropriate class? Can the same thing be done under Rule 23? Or are you going to tell me that, no, Rule 23 has lots of requirements and you'll never be able to certify a class like that?
Rule 23 provides the equitable tools subject to rigorous criteria, appropriately rigorous criteria, to obtain that kind of class-wide
interim. That suggests to me you're going to be standing up here in the next case saying that Rule 23 is inapt for this circumstance with this number of people, maybe with some questions that are individual, who knows. So let's put Rule 23 aside, because I got to tell you, that does not fill me with great confidence. How else are we going to get to the right result here, which is on my assumption that the EO is illegal?
What you heard there about Rule 23 is that he's saying you have to go the class action route. And what Justice Kagan is responding with, well, that takes a whole lot of time. So what happens to the people whose rights are being violated while all of that sorts out? Why isn't a nationwide injunction the appropriate pathway to protect constitutional rights? Now, all of this begs a bigger question, which is, presidents aren't kings. So what then? Let's take cut 30. This is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Let me just turn your attention to one other thing, because the real concern, I think, is that your argument seems to turn our justice system, in my view at least, into a catch-me-if-you-can kind of regime from the standpoint of the executive, where everybody has to have a lawyer and file a lawsuit in order for the government to stop violating people's rights. Justice Kagan says, let's assume for the purpose of this that you're wrong about the merits, that the government is not allowed to do this under the Constitution, and yet it seems to me that your argument says we get to keep on doing it until everyone who is potentially harmed by it figures out how to file a lawsuit, hire a lawyer, et cetera. And I don't understand how that is remotely consistent with the rule of law. You know, a system, and I appreciate that you go back to English common law and the Chancery Court, but they had a different system. The fact that courts back in English Chancery couldn't enjoin the king, I think, is not analogous or indicative of what courts can do in our system, where the king, quote unquote, the executive, is supposed to be bound by the law. And the court has the power to say what the law is. And so one would think that the court could say, this conduct is unlawful and you have to stop doing it.
Duh. That's my super technical legal argument. Like, duh. The courts should, of course, be able to say, Mr. King, I'm sorry, Mr. President, what you're doing is unconstitutional and you must stop. Because what is at stake is the daily violation of fundamental constitutional rights. And if we all got to go get a lawyer and we all got to run to court in each and every federal district, we are doomed. Then the Constitution is nothing but a set of suggestions that a king, excuse me, president, can either choose to observe or not on any given day. We deserve better. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about how to fill the gaps when the government fails your child's education, and what to do if these federal education cuts go through. Don't go anywhere. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Civic Media.